what she is hearing from the Lord. I'm not even sure all that what that is. She shared some things with me. And then we're going to hear from Renee.
I just love everybody in this congregation. I just am so happy to be a part of you all. I felt a sense of urgency about this particular year that we're coming into. And I made a copy of what I'm going to say. If anyone wants a copy, I have a few, and we can make more if you're interested. 12, as we all know, is the number of government. It's a foundation number. 6 is the number of man. 6 times 2 is 12. So there's a double layer, kind of like, of what God is doing right now. And I have more than just this, but this is what I felt like I was supposed to give today. These are the words I heard the most often as I was praying. The word war and battlefield, training, preparation, fixed gaze, and singleness of purpose. So war and battlefield are kind of the same, and training and preparation are kind of the same. And then the other two, fixed gaze and singleness of purpose, are kind of the same also. I saw this picture. It looked in my mind as I was praying, and it looked like a funnel on its side. I drew a picture here, but you probably can't see it. It just looks like a kind of a trumpet thing. And it looked like we were in the wide part of the trumpet, and we were going down, getting narrower and narrower toward Jesus' return. And so in that wide part, there were 4 things I felt like God wanted us to do. Number one, we need to wake up some more. We feel like we're awake, and yet there's more awakening that we need to do. There's more revelation that we need to understand, and even the ones we do understand, we need to understand them at a deeper level, and we need to start putting them more into practice. And then number two, line up. And we talked about that 2 Wednesday nights ago. We need to line up. In other words, come into agreement, come into a position, come into understanding, line up into the things that God is putting you personally into. And then number 3, prepare. And my brother-in-law is collecting guns and ammunition. I don't think God means us to prepare in that way, because, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not physical, the Bible says. They're spiritual. So the things we're still supposed to be preparing oftentimes are spiritual things. But we, because we walk in a physical realm, and we get thinking about bank accounts and storing up physical things. And then the 4th one was strengthen. And strengthen the things that we have right now. Strengthen the things God is going to be giving to us. Keep them strong. Don't let them get weak. So this is what I heard. So those are the 4 parts of that little trumpet opening. And here's the 5 points that I heard God say. We need to narrow down our focus, just like this little drawing that I made gets narrower and narrower. We need to keep casting away things that are diversions, distractions, those kind of things. We need to clarify our purposes. A lot of us are running around not knowing, why am I on the earth? Why am I at New Covenant? Why am I married to this person? Why am I, why are my kids, whatever? We need to be clarifying with God what our purpose in life really is. And then number 3, cast off the unnecessary, the burdensome, and the frivolous. I'm not even going to go there because that seems really obvious. And number 4, take off or remove Saul's armor. A lot of times we're trying to copy someone else. We're comparing ourselves to the way someone else prays, the same way someone else speaks, the way someone else raises their kids, I don't know. And we just have got to hear from God about how God wants us to do the thing. How does he want you to play the guitar? How does he want you to speak to your husband, your wife, and your children? And we have to have that relationship with God that's our own unique way. I mean, there's certain keys that we all need to understand, like praying in tongues, like fasting, like opening up the Bible and reading it. There's certain things Jesus said, my servants will, and then you can fill in the blank. We all need to do it, but we need to do it in the way that God shows us. We can't get this ritual, this routine down pat, because God's just the kind of God who pulls the rug out and says, I think today I'll just kind of turn the world upside down, and I think I want you to do it a little bit differently. So we need to be open to wearing the armor that God gives us, not Saul's armor. So under that same one, I put, do not trust in time-worn, traditional, or familiar methods or implements. Go forward with an open mind, an open heart, and an open hand, receiving each day what you need for that particular day, and with the message and the tool that he gives you in that day. The past does not predict the future. And then finally, expand your vision. Under that, I put five things. Number one, we have been, you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have been so miserly and so small-minded. We need to get a big picture and start asking God for bigger things. I've started asking God, help me to prophesy. Help me to hear dreams. Help me to hear your voice. Help me, God, because it ain't going to just happen like spontaneous combustion. I started now asking him for dreams, and I started getting them. We say we believe, but then when it starts happening, it's like, oh, God kind of heard my prayer. So ask God for things. Believe that you will receive large things. And then fight for them. If you're not getting them, go to God and find out why. There's probably a reason that he wants you to know. And next, join with other people who are committed to fight and to believe for what you are fighting for. And last, relationships and commitments are very important in this next year. Be careful before you say yes to someone, just because you've known them a long time, just because some program you know has always worked, or you've always gone to this appointment at this particular time, don't assume that that's where you're supposed to go now. Or maybe they have a great reputation. Oh, this place over here has a great reputation. Don't just make assumptions based on past. Listen for what God has to say to you in 2012. Be led by the Spirit, because the Lord told me the spirit of deception is very strong right now. Thank you for listening.
Very, very good. Yeah, she's given copies out of what she has. Hey, our CDs on Sunday, we give those out, right? We don't charge anything, right? We just give them out. I want you to make sure you get a copy of the CD from today and keep it with you, keep it handy all through the year, because there's going to be some things that are spoken and released that may not be for today, Sunday, but they're going to be for next week and next month. They're going to be for all of this year, and I think it's going to be very, very important that you have some of this stuff. We have some very wonderful prophetic people here. Somebody could say amen. Yes, we do. Glory to God. All of the body of Christ ought to be prophetic in the sense of that we are hearing God's voice and we are being shown things in the future. Because that's why the Holy Spirit, that's one of his purposes. It says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do what? Show you things to come. He wasn't just talking to prophets or just to fivefold ministry. He was talking to the body of Christ, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Part of his job is going to show you things to come. So we should not be surprised when he's beginning to show us some things for the future, and because really he wants us to be prepared for when they arrive. And that's part of the fivefold ministry, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to be prepared and to be ready in the times that we live. And so, Renee, would you come and share? I don't even know what she's going to share either, but I know it's going to be good and from the Lord. Hallelujah. You dig it? You want to up here? You can put all your stuff.
Elevate myself a little bit. I'll elevate him to the high place. For 2012, raise up the age-old foundations. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus Christ incarnate. Jesus is to be elevated to his rightful place in 2012. You know, the body of Christ overall, we're looking at denominations everywhere. Every denomination, and I could name them all, but you know them as well as I do. In many of those denominations, Jesus does not have the highest place of honor. It's the time now for him to be placed in the highest place. So I believe in 2012, there's going to be a shift in a lot of denominations, that truly there's going to be a surrender, and that Jesus is going to be elevated to his rightful position. Because in that place, then the head functions, is allowed to function, and the body can function its rightful place. The reason why the body hasn't functioned is because the head hasn't been allowed to be the head. So that is the primary thing that 2012 is going to be built upon. And I'm just going to name off some things that I heard. Habakkuk 2:3. Write down the revelation and make it plain so that the people may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. The Lord also spoke to my heart and said, talked about the former things and the new things. I'm going to read these scriptures because I believe he's going to speak to each of you differently. In Daniel 2:23 and 21 through 23, see, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Excuse me, that's Isaiah 42:9. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. The Lord's saying for the new year for us to go forward and what he's called us to, we're going to have to lay down some of the former things. Some of the former things have been good things, but some of the former things have also been not so good things. The Lord says it's time to lay those down because we don't want just the good thing. We want the best thing. Amen. So he says, see, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, but there's revelation that's released at an appointed time. And so for 2012, the Lord is going to release revelation that's a now word. So be ready for the now revelation. So they are created now. Not long ago, you have not heard of them before today. So it's new, it's fresh, and it'll be released in 2012. Also, the Lord spoke a little something to me in Isaiah 43:21. This is the year of his people proclaiming his praise. Judah goes out before the army in 2012. So there is a praise, a sound of praise that is going forth in 2012. And so I don't know what that looks like, but I'm just saying what he said. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the last 3 days, I haven't been able to stop singing that. I've got a song I've been listening to. It just has been resonating in my heart. And this is how I believe what the Lord said in 2012, that that's going to happen. We've all been crying out for the glory of God. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. But what's happened is the wineskin hasn't been prepared to actually receive the glory of God. So this is what I heard, is that the ecclesia is the wineskin, with the fivefold in manifestation, and the glory of God is the new wine. So they must equally be in operation, or the ecclesia must be functioning in the proper structure so that the glory of God can come and dwell and remain. We don't want a glory that comes and departs and rests. We want the glory that remains. And in that glory, there's supernatural healings, supernatural provision. There's signs. There's wonders. We can't work those up. When the glory of God is there, they are manifest because they come and they're birthed from Him. So alignment is really important. So the ecclesia is the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2 and 9. As the priest of God, we are called the priest and kings. As priests, we are called to reflect the holiness of God. This is important. As priests, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. We are to offer our bodies. Our worship team sang about it today. We are to offer our resources. We're to offer our praise. The third point as a priest, that we are to intercede for man before God. And the fourth point, we're supposed to represent God before man. That's the priesthood of the Most High God, and that is what the ecclesia will look like. So 2012 is going to be the year of function of the ecclesia in the revelation in regards to our kingdom, the kingdom of the living God. The fivefold. Yes. The priesthood? Okay. The royal priesthood, the ecclesia. As priest of our God, we are to reflect the holiness of God. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices. And those, I'll give you a few. We're to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That's Romans 12:1. Philippians 4:8, Hebrews 13:60. We're supposed to offer our money and our materials. We're supposed to offer our praise, Hebrews 13:15. We're supposed to offer our good works. Number three, we're to intercede for man before God. And number four, we're to represent God before man. Again, the year of 2012 is the year of the function of the ecclesia in relationship to the kingdom. The fivefold will be manifest in the ecclesia, in the body. And not just one or two, but the entire fivefold. The ecclesia is that which is governmental in its structure and function, as well as legislative and judicial. So we're going to see all of that function in 2012. Isaiah 28:6 says, a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment is a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Psalms 82, God provides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the sons in the great hall of justice. This is the ecclesia. This is what's going to happen in 2012 on a greater measure. Matthew 16:18, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose according to his commands. And once again, the new wine, the glory of God, and the new wineskin, the ecclesia. So I heard that. And a few other things that I wanted to say. There was one thing that when I was looking, there is a danger that the Lord just wanted me to, because I think we need to be aware of that, and also for those that we might be helping with just the understanding of ecclesia. The danger is that ecclesia will become like a, what's that called? Like a word, like just a byword or a byphrase, or just, and this is the danger, is that we'll call it ecclesia, but we'll still be operating in the old wineskin and trying to manifest the new wine. Another danger is that we'll be functioning, we'll be, the new wineskin will be ready, but we will try to recreate the wine, the new wine. We'll try to create it ourselves. And so we just have to be careful of both of those things, because the Holy Spirit of the living God is well able. When his glory comes, it comes truth, order, and peace comes. No truth, no order, no peace, no presence of God, no glory of God. And I heard this too when I was in the Word of God, Joe. I heard this for you. Zerubbabel. When I was in it, it was very kind of funny because I wasn't even looking for that for Joe. But I'm just going to read what the Lord told me to tell you about in likeness to Zerubbabel. And you can read this in Zechariah 4 and 5 and also Ezra 4 a little bit. But the Spirit of God is encouraging you to complete the rebuilding. And he is assuring you as well of the Holy Spirit's enablement. Your faith in the power of God will overcome mountainous obstacles. Mostly from opposition and people's unwillingness to persevere. This is not a small thing you are doing, though many think it's insignificant overall. But God will enable you to finish. One man plants and another waters. But the Lord said you will both plant and water. You will build and you will finish. For he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the cornerstone, but he's also the capstone. And I believe I'm finished.
Bless the Lord. I'm still kind of taking that in, so give me a second if you don't mind. Typically, those of you that have not been with us for very long, we don't normally do this at the beginning of every year. I know other people that do it. I never have until this year got really excited about a coming year or even heard a whole lot of things for that very next year. But that changed 8 days ago for me. A week ago Saturday, those of you that were here, I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 21 too while I'm warming up. That were here a week ago Saturday when we had our New Year's Eve service, I talked about some things that the Lord had dropped in my lap earlier that day on the airplane when I wanted to sleep, when I was returning home. And off and on since then, it's been nearly rapid fire of some things. And I've changed this so many times because everything that I'm hearing from the Lord, it's very difficult sometimes to verbalize what you're hearing and what you're seeing and make sense of it. And it's kind of funny to me because of the things that I've been writing down and taking notes. I'm like, man, that's like the priority. And then I would put it at the top of my notes. And then the next thing was like, that was priority. And I just kept, so I just made some notes. And I'm going to share from my heart today on some of the things that I have heard from the Lord. And you can judge it according to Scripture and what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I am not a prophet. I don't proclaim to be a prophet. I do proclaim to be prophetic because I am prophetic. We're part of a prophetic people. And the Lord will show us things, give us insight, like I said a moment ago, to share and to speak of where we're at. I do know that there are so many things happening. And during worship, I was given two different illustrations to share with you. How many of you ever driven... what happened to your hair, man? It looks awesome, though. It really does. I was noticing earlier, it's like, man, you got like the best dome to be bald, because mine isn't. But anyway, we'll come back.
When, dear Lord, where was I going with this? The illustrations that I was giving during worship, I know why I thought of that, because I noticed you during worship. Was okay. How many of you ever driven a stick shift car? You have. Oh, many of you. Very, very good. You ever been in first gear and you let out the clutch and you go? You only go so fast. However, the engine makes all kinds of noise because the faster you go in first gear, the more RPMs, rotations per minute, and the engine is really, it sounds like it should be going 120 miles an hour, but because of the gears that you're in, you're only going to go so fast. Until you do what? Shift into second gear. In second gear, you're going to go faster than you were in first gear. But again, you're only going to go so fast. There's a limit to that car, how fast it's going to go. And again, the RPMs are going to go up. The engine's going to be making all kinds of noise, sounding like it's ready to explode, but you're only going to go so far until you shift into third gear and so on and so forth. Well, we have shifted. I'm just telling you, we shifted. We have shifted a gear, and we're about to take off to places we've never gone before. I was given the second illustration. How many of you ever watched the space shuttle or, you know, the rocket in NASA? What do you call that? I know, Russ, you're real knowledgeable of all that. Before, when it's on the launch pad, have you ever watched a takeoff, whether maybe you've been privileged to be there live or seen it on TV, that all of a sudden when the countdown goes and the engines is going and all kinds of dirt and debris and the engine's just, I mean, it's like, it is ready. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. In any moment, and I believe it's going to begin in a mighty way this year, it's going to explode and take off. We have been, and when I say we, I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. If you've been a Christian for a period of time, you've probably felt the frustration, the trials, the circumstances, all of these things come. You've been in periods of disillusionment sometimes. You've been, what is this all about? The way I can explain it is you felt like maybe a baby in the womb, in darkness at times, not able to breathe on your own, not able to see on your own, and you're fighting and you're moving and you're wanting out of that. Does that kind of identify? Does anybody, you know, especially over the last, I would say probably 20 years at least, in a great way, that we have been in a time of preparation and training, and some of you have, I think one of the ladies mentioned that as well. I don't believe that that time is over, but I do believe that we're shifting out of that time. And those of you that you may not feel like you're trained, nor are you ready, but the Lord says you're ready, and this is your day, this is your hour, this is your time, and you're going to have to stand up to what is now, that is now. Let me just put it that way, that is now. Circumstances, situations, trials, and sufferings, and relational issues that we have all had over the last several years, etc., 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 has been to prepare you, to make you more like Christ, and to prepare you for where you're at today and for your function, your gift, and your calling, and just for today, for now. Not that that's going to be over, but that is where, and the purpose behind some of these things, because the fruit of the Spirit is going to be produced. It's just going to be multiplied this year in many people's life. I want to say this, though. There are many in the body of Christ that will not taste of any of this that I'm talking about. If it's like the prophetic song that was sung today, I surrender, there are many that won't surrender and therefore will not go on. They will stay in yesterday. They will stay in their offenses, their hurts, and their wounds. They will keep spinning around of yesterday's stuff, and they will never come out of it. There'll be a gerbil and a gerbil wheel, and they'll just keep moving and moving and moving and going nowhere. The time for the offense, the hurt, and the wounds. Let me preface this. I forgot. I'm going to say probably some things this morning and next week that are going to be offensive. I'm just going to let you know in advance. All right? I'm going to say some things that are probably hard and difficult. I'm going to say them the best way I possibly can, but I know that they're going to be offensive. Take it this way. If it's offensive, there's still something alive in you that must die. Or judge it as it wasn't the word of the Lord anyway. That's your choice. The time for hurts and wounds, not that we must acknowledge, let me back, we must acknowledge that there are hurts, but there are some in the body of Christ that have been nursing these offenses, hurts and wounds for a number of years. And the grace for that is just about over. It's just about over. You are either going to come out of it because you've been given, and when I say you, I'm talking about the grace. Me too, okay? We're all into this together. That we've been given opportunity and opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for healing and for deliverance, and we've neglected them, and the time for that is about over. And if we don't get healed and set free from some of these things that we've been wrestling with for years and years and years, now I'm not talking about people that are just coming into the kingdom. Because there are going to be many coming into the kingdom, and it's going to begin rapidly this year and going to accelerate into next year like I don't think we've ever seen before. And that's not only me saying that, too. Rick Joyner's been saying that. There have been others saying that. If you haven't read the book, The Harvest by Rick Joyner, you need to grab that. You need to read it probably 3 or 4 times this year. It's going to be rapidly. I'm going to speak about the prodigals that are going to begin to return. They began returning last year, and that's going to accelerate this year, too. And there are many prodigals that have left. I'm not talking to people that haven't quit going to church. I'm talking about real prodigals that have left the father. If you read the prodigal story, the story about the prodigal son, when he returned, he didn't say, I'm going to go back home. He said, I'm going to return to my father. Big difference. Big, big difference. But many of these prodigals that have left have offended you, hurt you, and you've actually been glad that they're eating pig pods. But some of them are going to return, and they're going to return rapidly. And when they return rapidly, they're going to receive a robe, a ring, and sandals, and they're going to be restored to their place of authority, where they had left from. And it's going to happen rapidly, and that's going to be an offense or a cause of offense for many. And if you haven't dealt with offense and wounds and hurts, you're going to spin out on this. I'm just telling you. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. You can read this whole passage in context, but Jesus said this: men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You do know there's three heavens, right? Not in the denominational sense that some people believe there's three levels to heaven, but there are three heavens. Heaven just simply means this: atmosphere. There's a heaven in which we live. The atmosphere in which we live here on earth is a heaven. Between here and where God exists, the heaven, capital H, there is the heavens. It is the atmosphere of between the two places. This is where worldly forces and principalities and wicked spirits, evil spirits, they reside in the heavenlies. You're hearing me? What did Jesus say here? He said men are going to faint from what? Fear of the expectations of things that are coming upon the earth. I believe that we have only seen tremors and small things, both economically, in our nation, in the nations, and what we're about to be upon now is going to cause people's hearts to faint in such a way. And I really believe this is serious, and specifically for the body of Christ. There's a passage of Scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians, it might be 2 Corinthians, that I think we need to grab hold of. It says, faith, hope, and love. These three exist, and the greatest of these is love. We're going to need to understand that beginning right now. Because too many people in the body of Christ do not really have true biblical hope. Hope sees into the future. Faith doesn't see into the future. Hope sees into the future. Let me back up for just a second. The greatest of these is love. Faith works by what? Love. No love, no faith. It's as simple as that. Faith is for what? Right now. It's not for future. I don't have faith for the future. Biblical hope is for the future. That I will see through the eyes that God is showing me. I will see through his eyes. And I have hope for the future. But so many of us are so in tune to the natural world that we are getting most of our information from the internet and from the news. And it's going to stir in us and create a fear in us and give us hopelessness. Therefore, we won't have faith for now. We will rapidly begin to do things with our money, job, and do all kinds, and I think somebody, one of the ladies mentioned this too, and do all of these kinds of things to protect what we have, and maybe God is leading in some of that. I don't know for sure. Maybe he's leading in some of that, but we're gonna receive it in the natural, not in the spirit, to see what's really going on. For instance, did you know that the shaking that is going on in the world today, God is doing it? I mean, did you know that for certain? God is the one that is shaking. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning with verse 25. I believe that what we have seen up until this point, like in history, but like in the last few years specifically, the shaking that's going on is going to be much more intense this year. And folks, we have to be ready. We have to see it with a heart of love, faith, and hope. Because if God is doing this, which he is, he's doing it for our benefit, not for our destruction. It says everything in the heavenlies is going to be shaken. The heavenlies where? Heaven's not. Heaven where God isn't shaken. So it's going to be shaken in the heavenlies where wicked spirits reside, and that is going to cause a shaking here. And we've been seeing that, and that's going to pick up steam. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Let me skip to verse 26 real quick. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Not where he lives, it's the heavenlies. Back up for a minute, because I think we just missed a word. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised. God has promised. You're not getting this. God has made a promise to us that he was going to shake the heavenlies and the earth. Look, we've got to change our perspective. It's not destruction. He's given us a promise. We've got to begin to see that it's God promised that he's going to do this for our benefit. What is going on today and what's going to happen this year and next is God is doing it. He's in control. He promised, saying, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavenlies. He's going to shake every wicked spirit. Whoo! I'm not making this up. I'm just reading what's wrote. Or written. Wrote's not really, that's incorrect, isn't it? That's, that's Joe speak, not English. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things that can be shaken. This is a wonderful promise if we'll grasp this. As of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things in your life, the things in my life that are being shaken, are those things that are not founded on kingdom. and they need to be shaken, so they will shake off. Because look at the next verse. Therefore, verse 28, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show or have grace with gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. These things, he is shaking things. Why? Because the kingdom is close. The kingdom of God is at hand. Come on. I said this a couple years back. I'll say it again. I don't know if the planet's warming up or not. Don't necessarily care. Human beings aren't causing it. I believe it's a great sign that Jesus, the Son, is getting closer. And we're misinterpreting what that's all about. He is allowing this shaking to get us grounded and founded on kingdom. Everything that's kingdom. Because once we shift to that kingdom, we can't be shaken. We can't be shaken. But too often we've been fighting against it. Because what's shaken, we don't want to loose. We don't want loosed. We want to keep it. The time for that's over. It really, really is. I see such a dividing right now that there are some, and I believe it's basically a remnant in the body of Christ, whatever degree that might be, are going to go on with the Lord, and the others are going to keep doing business as usual and spin out. At the same time, a great harvest is coming, and many prodigals are going to return. This is a wonderful time to be alive, and God's appointed for you to be alive right now at this time. I'm not in the habit of quoting false prophets. Most of you, or some of you probably heard this, the Mayan calendar comes to an end this year, 12/21/12. Nostradamus has predicted the end of the world in 2012, actually in December, a comet was coming. There are many people that have perceived things about this particular year, centuries ago. I'm not a follower of Nostradamus, nor the Mayan calendar. Because God's word's the last word. God's word's the true word. I mention that because there are people that are picking up things and have picked up things, whether they know God or not, about this particular year. I mean, let's not forget that magicians and astronomers, God busted through that with a star and led them to the Savior. They weren't God people. They weren't followers of the Lord. They weren't Holy Ghost filled and reading the scripture. They weren't. But God busted through that and led them by a star to the Savior. Also, with a whole bunch of stuff to give to them, finances, prosperity, gifts to help sustain them in their journey in Egypt. Somebody's going to get that later. We are also, I'm just going to say this, and I'm glad this, I don't know. Jesus said, remember when Jesus said that on the third day, I'm coming back on the third day. I'm going to, you know, the temple, he was talking about the temple was going to be destroyed and that he was going to be resurrected, and he did it with illustrations on the third day. Also, the seventh day in creation, when God, you know, created the worlds, he created 7 days, and there's no day after the seventh day. We don't have an eighth day. It returns to the first. He separated, sanctified it. He separated that day, called it holy, and then in the Ten Commandments, that day was a day of what? Rest, and it was to be a Sabbath, a perpetual place of rest for the people of God. Under the new covenant, it is my belief that every day is the Sabbath day. It's not just to be observed on a particular day, particular hour. It's every day. We are to live in this place of rest. However, something that is interesting here, that we are entering now, if not already entered this, that we are, if a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, we have in history and timeline have entered the third day. In other words, we have entered the 3,000th year since Christ, which is the third day. We have also entered the seventh day because we have entered the 7,000th year of creation. Both of these time periods are converging on us right now at this year, along with all of the prophetic things that are happening in 2012, 12 being a year of government. We started this church 12 years ago. We have now completed 12 years, and we have entered our 13th year. 3 years ago, November, we had agreed, Renee and I, to be connected with Missouri Prayer, and we got connected with them and prayed for, and this all kind of just hit me again this morning, not again, but for the first time this morning, and Renee dug out the CD for me, and I listened to it on the way in this morning, because her and I were prophesied over for 15 minutes by several different people within that organization, some very prophetic people, and there were some phenomenal things that came out in that, but one of the things that struck me is why my mind went to it this morning and I wanted to hear it again was the number 12. Because the number 12 came out. I'm not going to go into the whole prophecy, but what's not on tape is a lady came to me afterwards, and she said, because it was actually the number 1212 came out to me from another guy that prophesied over this, and there's much more to that. But afterwards, a lady walked up to me, and she said, 1212. When I heard that, she said, do you know what that means? I said, no, I don't know what that means other than what this guy just told me. She said, I've been in prison before, and it's a prison term. Matter of fact, they would tell people when it's their time to be released from prison, they would say, you've been 1212'd. You're not hearing that. This shaking is a promise from God. It's not a problem. Oh, it's first. I have it written here. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. I mentioned a week ago Saturday, this will be either a glorious year for us or it will be much more troublesome. It's going to be more glorious or much more troublesome. And here's the thing. You get to choose. Yes, you do. You get to choose whether it's going to be much more troublesome for you or it's going to be much more glorious for you. Those who are building their lives on the kingdom, it's going to be glorious. When I say kingdom, along with that is positioning and alignment. I think it's already started, but that's going to pick up steam this year too. People are actually, there's going to be a migration of people. They're even going to become, some people are going to be coming out of certain countries because God didn't call them there and they're going to have to go to another one. State to state, there's going to be people that maybe even here in this room today, maybe God didn't call you here, but you're going to hear his voice to where he's called you and vice versa. There's a shift and a moving and a repositioning and alignment because God calls all the body parts together and he puts them where he wants them. See, what we've done so much in the past is we've gone places that we wanted to, whether it was on a job or because our family was there or because the weather is better in that part of the country or another nation or we just have a heart for mission, so God called me to Ghana or whatever it might be, and we've put ourselves in these places. But God, now I'm not saying that everything and everybody's going to do this, but I'm going to say God is going to be causing a great, because there's going to be just a remnant that's going to hear God and really move with them. And others aren't. They're going to want business as usual. And I just want to say this about all of that too. If change is difficult for you, you better get over that. I'm serious. I'm not just talking about it in this context. Because many things are changing. Many things are changing. Lifestyle. Some of our lifestyles. I made this mention because this is exactly the way I heard it from the Lord. Your lifestyle is restricting you. It is not freeing you. Therefore, there must be lifestyle changes. What's a lifestyle change? From the moment you wake up out of bed to the moment you go to bed, everything you do in that time frame has got to change and line up. Maybe some of you have already got that structured, but there are many that have not. And you're wasting time, spending time. See, the mentality of I'm just waiting on God, just waiting on God, is killing us. Obedience is going to be of the utmost importance. It always has been, but it's going to really be important. I mean, pure obedience. When you hear God, not sitting around trying to figure it out and having 14 people confirm it. But when you see it in the Word of God, whether you want to, you're going to just pure obedience. And that's going to be as well for congregations, as well as for us individually. Business as usual is not going to prosper any longer. And that's for individuals and for the body of Christ. Business as usual is not going to prosper any longer. I can define that. Maybe I will later, but I'm not going to today. I've already said some of this, but let me just go down through my notes for sake of time. The shaking will continue and pick up speed and intensity. Most of this part right here, well, most everything I have said is what I believe God has spoken to me. Now, when I say something that I have heard from somebody else, I'm going to tell you today who I heard it from. And it's the Great Harvest, which I've heard that from Rick Joyner. In his book, The Harvest, I've heard him speak of this as well. I have a sense of that, but I heard this in my heart from the Lord. You know what I'm trying to say and explain there. But I do believe that a great harvest is going to begin. I don't think we're going to see everything this year, but I think it's going to begin this year. And I also believe that prodigals, this is from me, I've never heard anybody else say this before, this is from what I believe the Lord, that prodigals have already started last year, but they're going to come back in greater numbers. And we better be ready for them. Like, I want to say this again, because some of them, they may have offended us, they may have offended God, offended the body of Christ, they may have done some horrible things, whatever. But when they come back, like the prodigal son did, with a heart of repentance to return to the Father's going to restore them immediately, and they're going to fulfill their office and their calling, and they're going to be advanced back to where they have been called to. They're not going to be made to sit down for weeks and years. And we better get used to that. That's going to cause some offense in the body. Those of us that do not like change are going to struggle and have a hard time. Our mindsets and perceptions have to change. Something else that's going to happen this year. I mentioned this last Saturday, that the Lord said abundant grace. Abundant grace is going to be available. It isn't going to just jump on you or fall on you or do something in you. Abundant grace is going to be, and when I say abundant, because what I believe I heard from the Lord say is there's going to be more grace. Because why? Where darkness or where evil is, what? More grace abounds as evil. Because what we are seeing too is evil is coming to fruition, but righteousness is too. The harvest of evil and the harvest of good are maturing together. And so where evil abounds, where there's darkness, there's more darkness, more light is available, where more grace is available to overcome. But grace, how does grace come? Do you know it does not come from praying for it? I want to tell you that. I hear people pray, oh, but God, give me more grace. God, give me more grace. That is not a biblical mandate. It's not to pray and ask God for more grace. Grace is there, but it's only there when you function in faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is extremely clear. We are saved by grace, not asking for it, not praying for it. We are saved by grace, but it comes what? Through the channel of faith. What is faith? When we trust God. What is trusting God? Doing what God says. When we do what God says, abundant grace this year is going to come and enable us to do what we cannot do on our own. With that, we're going to see some explosive growth. Not numerically only, but I'm talking about in maturity. Because some people are going to grasp this, and they're going to begin to hear what God is saying, whether read it here, and they're going to begin to function in it and have faith. They're going to obey what God says, and growth is going to happen quickly. We need it. We have got to be prepared, because when people come, when the harvest comes and the prodigal comes, somebody's got to shepherd them, feed them, disciple them, and we've got to have that. Alignment and positioning is extremely important. I talked about that. The seven mountain mandate, gosh, I got a bunch more to talk about that, is going to be very, very important. We're going to have to shift mindsets that every one of us is a minister of the gospel, and where God has called you in whatever mountain he's called you, whether it be arts and entertainment, media, the family, the church, whatever it is, that he's equipping you and giving you anointing to minister life and to bring kingdom into that mountain to see it change. We have had such a church mentality. We're thinking everything has to happen within the four walls, within the congregation. There's not enough room in the congregation for every one of you, and we're small in number, for every one of you to function in your gift. Your gift is not just for the body. If you're called to fivefold ministry, it's for the body of Christ. If you're not, it's really called for the world. Jesus said to go where? Go to the church? No, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, make disciples of what? The church? No, he said, make disciples of what? Nations. I've got a bunch more on that. 2012, the year of government, being 12, ecclesia is going to be extremely important. Renee spoke to that as well. Along with that, we've got to come into our identity personally and as a congregation or as the body of Christ. What do I mean by that? We've got to understand that we are not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners, and yes, we have been saved by grace, but now we are made in the image of Christ, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are sons and daughters, we are warriors. We got to come into our full identity, and yes, we are the bride of Christ. All of these things need a conversion. We need the understanding of our true identity, because your identity will answer why you're here, where you're going, and your purpose, your whole purpose, why you exist. What your function is, and along with your identity, because your identity is what Jesus wanted, what people wanted to kill Jesus for, was for his identity. That when he said, "I am the Son of God," they wanted to kill him, blasphemy, all of these things. Why? For his identity. But it was his identity that gave him the authority, because authority just doesn't come on you because you're a Christian. Hello. You don't have authority because you're a Christian. I'm going to leave that alone for now, but I'll come back to it. Also, a quick advertisement. We have classes that we began. We restarted them up again this morning at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We started today our chapter on ecclesia. I just want to encourage you as highly as I possibly can to come to our classes, not just for this chapter, but for all of them. This is chapter 6. You already missed the first 5 chapters. But this is important. Ecclesia, and to grab, because I know some of you haven't been with us very long, and maybe you have no idea what ecclesia means, but we're going to explain it. You're going to have time to ask questions on that at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. It's vitally important, and it's going to be more and more important this coming year. I'm going to close. I got so much more, but I knew I wasn't going to have time to do it. I want to say this, because I want to say this often. Through this whole year, because we're in election year, right, for the president. We are not a 501c3, so I'm going to remind you of that, because I can say anything I want to say about politics. Now, so, I'm glad you like that, because a lot of people don't. They want it separated. How do I say this? I am shocked that so many Christians are on the Ron Paul bandwagon. It is shocking to me. Unbelievable. He's not the guy in any shape or manner. He is one scary individual. He is so much of his philosophy is so screwed up. And I'm talking about in so many areas. Does he know the Constitution? Absolutely. He could have a place in government that could probably be helped, but not the president. But I see this on Facebook. I've seen so many Christians. It's just scary and unbelievable to me. We have got to hear from the Spirit of God. I'm not going to tell you who I think needs to be, at least not right now. But we have got to hear from the Spirit of God. And I want to say this about the president, because so often Christians, what they want to do, and this election for the most part is going to be about economy. It's going to be about money. Okay, it's already the wrong platform for the body of Christ. Because we should never make any decision based on money. Okay? I know some of you are going to get offended at me. I know. Anybody offended? Because I'm almost hoping somebody is. But I'm working on it. It's coming. Is it building? But I want to say this, too, about the president. We've got to hear from the Spirit of God, because it doesn't appear right now that the hand of God is on any one of those men that we're seeing. It doesn't appear. God can change things like that. That's why we need to hear from the Spirit of God of which one of these, and I say men now because the woman dropped out, Michelle Bachmann. I'm just assuming most of you are Republican. I don't know if you are or not, but I'm going to say something about that as well. I have no idea how any Christian can ever align themselves with the Democratic Party because of the platform of the homosexual agenda and abortion alone. Forget about anything else. I have no idea how a Christian, somebody that reads the Word, that says they follow Christ, can align themselves with that party. I'm not a Republican. I want to be a God person. I want to be a kingdom. If you go to my Facebook thing, my political view, it's the kingdom of God. I put it on. It's the kingdom. I don't care about Republican. I don't care about Democrat. All of these kinds of things. I want to see the kingdom manifest. And I want to see our country, because we have a calling as a country that we have yet to fulfill all of it. And I want to see our destiny fulfilled. But we're going to go through some things because the ball's already been rolling. There's some consequences coming our way. And it's really for realignment and shaping up and for repentance. And I want to say, there's so many things I want to say. Please bear with me. If a time's up for you, just go ahead and go. I'll talk to the brick walls. It'd be okay. Because I just feel like I need to get this out. There's two things. Renee, remind me I said two things because I might get lost in my babbling. There may be a man that becomes president or maybe on the platform that has some really good economic ideas and some really good principles. They're not going to help a bunch. We're in this mess because of the moral decay and the pride. And until that's reversed, you can try anything and everything you want. It's the same way with your personal life. You're grasping, what is it, oil or wind with your hands. Just that's what needs to happen. Now, I'm going to give you some great news. When we understand ecclesia as the government of the kingdom of God on earth, to hear from heaven and to prophesy it, our president doesn't have any authority. We only think he does. He only thinks he does. The Bible says that God can turn the heart of the king or president like channels of water. How does he do that? With us. He gives us his will and his declarations, and when we prophesy them out and speak them out, it creates change in the atmosphere and change in hearts, men. He called us as the ecclesia to rule the nation, folks. You didn't know you were a politician, did you? See, we don't understand that part of what ecclesia really is. That's why we're in the shape we're in. So I'm saying this to say that we need to be engaged. We need to vote for the person that we believe God is speaking to us. But in the final analysis, it doesn't really matter. I don't like our president now. Couldn't believe it when he was voted in. However, here we are. God's called us to be the ecclesia. He's given us the authority and power, and we hear from his word, we can stop this homosexual thing. We can reverse abortion. Come on. We can turn our nation. We can repent and see a national repentance. Look, the reason I'm saying this is Joseph. Pharaoh was it. But here comes Joseph. Turn the world completely upside down. We have a Joseph generation at hand. Just we don't really realize it yet. That's why I'm saying it doesn't, even with the seven mountains, you don't have to get to the top of the mountain to have influence. You've got influence now. If you will hear what God is saying for your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, wherever, your mountain, if you will hear what God is saying and begin to prophesy and speak that out and begin living according to that, you've got more of power and authority than your boss does, than the king does. Then I'm just telling you. We can't feel good about this. We've got to engage into this. so we can begin to turn. Did I say the two things? Two things. I think I did. I forgot. I forgot. Praise the Lord. Thank you for bearing with me on this. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you want here.